Hello, everyone, and happy Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. So this Sunday, May 30th, is, as I said, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. And that feast always comes on the Sunday after Pentecost. And this feast first began in 1334, when Pope John the 22nd instituted this feast to take place on the Sunday after Pentecost for the entire church. And the reason why it was decided that it would take place on the Sunday after Pentecost, because it was on Pentecost that the doctrine of the Trinity was proclaimed. And so we can see that last Sunday, of course, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so there we saw the entire Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. So you can see how that would follow through one after the other. And so a couple of things about the Trinity, and then I'm going to focus mostly on St. Paul's letter to the Romans. St. Paul's letter to the Romans. So a couple of things about the Trinity. So if you think about, you know, where is the Trinity apparent in our daily life? Well, every time we bless ourselves in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then every time we pray the glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was. So the Trinity was from the very beginning. It exists now, and it will exist forever. Throughout all time, we will have the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I asked the deacon husband what he remembered most about his Trinity class, which he took at school. And what he remembers is, interestingly enough, one of the things that I also remember from my reading, and it comes from Father Ranieri Cantalamessa, who is the preacher to the papal household. And he has a beautiful book on the Trinity, and then another one also on the Holy Spirit. But what he talked about is, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of love between the Father and the Son. And I think that is a truly beautiful way to think about the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son just have so much love between them that it is a person. It is a person who we call and know to be the Holy Spirit. And we look at the three people of the Trinity, and they each have three very distinct roles or responsibilities in our lives, right? God the Father is our creator. God the Son is our redeemer. And God the Holy Spirit, He's our sanctifier. And so we need all three of those persons. We need them all to do each of those things in our life. And together, they are our one God, our triune God. It reminds us, too, that the Trinity is a community. It's a family. And we are meant to live in community. We're really not meant to be loners who never spend time with other people or interact with other people. We are meant to be in community with others. So let me go now to this last point that I want to make, which struck me as I was reading St. Paul's letter to the Romans. So this is focusing on chapter 8, verses 14 to 17 is the reading. And it's the last part of the last verse that I want to focus in. So 17, the last part of it, which says, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. So what comes before that is the idea that we are sons and daughters of God because we have been led by God and we've received the spirit of adoption and we can call God our Father because of that. And the Holy Spirit is within us, bears witness to our spirit, with our spirit, that we are children of God. And so if we're children of God, not which we are, then we are also heirs with Christ, because Christ then is our brother, yes. If only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the idea of being glorified with Jesus. I'm not so keen on the whole suffering with him. But you know what? They go together. If we think about Jesus, Jesus's great glory was so glorious because he suffered. It's only in the suffering that we are purified, that we are sanctified, that we get rid of the stuff inside of us that is not needed, that holds us back, and then we can be glorified. In the Old Testament, it says, like gold that is tested in fire, and everything that falls away when you burn gold is dross, right? Nobody wants that. We want pure gold. And so that's what our suffering does. But there's a way that we need to suffer, or the way that we ought to suffer. And that is the way Jesus did, which was uncomplainingly. And I don't know about you, but man, it is hard for me to suffer uncomplainingly. It really is. And I've learned not to complain about little things, and I've learned not to complain about things that are outside of my control so much. But sometimes things happen that are outside of our control that hurt. They hurt us. People hurt us. They don't necessarily mean to hurt us, but they do. Situations hurt us. So all of this is what I think about when I read that verse. We suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. So this week, as we go about our week, as we have our sufferings, big ones and little ones, right? They always come. And sometimes you go through seasons where there's lots of little ones. And sometimes there are seasons where the sufferings are very big and very real and very apparent. How are you suffering? Are you suffering well? Are you suffering like Jesus suffered? Or are you suffering like I kind of like to suffer, which is making sure everyone around me knows I am suffering? And that's something that I know that I want to not be that way. I want to change that about myself, that I want my suffering to be offered up as a sacrifice willingly, that I give it over for someone else's good, that it can be used to help someone else, you know, that idea of redemptive suffering, which is a whole nother topic. I am going way too long. Your challenge for this week, my friends, is if you have suffering, try to suffer well like Jesus did, uncomplainingly. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope you remember to always live not lukewarm. God bless you.